Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trip Tower, and we're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich for the opening bell at 5. And it's Justin, right? Justin's filling in for Justin Kaufman filling in for Cochran this morning at 6. And it's time to talk vinyl. Our good friend Jim Hankey is the host of the Vinyl Emergency podcast on Now Playing Network. Check out vinylemergency.com. He's a music fanatic and a record collector and a good friend of the show. And we welcome Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Real good.
Good. We were just talking that you're coming to The Exorcist.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife and I are planning on making it. It's going to be great.
You finally came to one. You came to Fight Club last month.
I did. We came to Fight Club, and I hadn't seen it in a while. My wife hadn't seen it in a while. And it was just so funny. Like, right around that time, a buddy of mine, a vinyl collector friend of mine, Rob Clark, has been reading a lot about minimalism, about getting rid of some of his collection and kind of just going with the basics. So somebody recommended Fight Club to him, like, oh, if you like minimalism, you might like this movie. And I think it scarred him for life pretty much.
Yeah.
He'd never seen it.
Yeah.
So he was telling me about that.
Movie's got a pretty insane philosophy.
Yeah.
It really does.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and it did not agree with my father.
No, no.
And when it was over, he just went, what the hell was that? So,
but I got to recommend, everybody who hasn't been to a Nick D Club show screening, it was really great.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. It's cheap, too. It's only $10.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I get to blabber a little bit about the movie afterwards and hopefully, you know, teach people some stuff that they didn't know about the movie.
Of course,
you know, I've seen The Exorcist about 8 million times,
mm-hmm.
and so it's going to be fun to talk about
afterwards.
Absolutely. It's always a lot of fun when I'm really enthusiastic about the movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway. Definitely. Well, listen, welcome back, man. Tell everybody about Vinyl Emergency.
Sure. So it's a podcast that started in January. People might be familiar with Jim Laskowski on this program, who's filled in for Colin or Eric time to time reviewing movies with you. He reached out to me after appearing on this show quite a bit about having my own vinyl podcast. So he started NowPlayingNetwork.net. There's a lot of great other podcasts on that network. And you can also find it on iTunes, SoundCloud, however you listen to this program. After hours, you can find Vinyl Emergency as well. And VinylEmergency.com, you can go there and check out all the episodes and everything, too.
Now, it's a real quick background. When did you start collecting vinyl, and how did it become a passion of yours?
Sure. So my parents grew up, raised me with records in the house, Beach Boys, Patsy Cline, all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until a couple of years ago, my wife encouraged me to kind of get into vinyl because she said, you know, you're such a music freak, you know, you love artwork. You love the time it takes to make albums, you know, maybe vinyl would be up your alley. And then it just started from there.
Yeah.
So I've been collecting ever since. And, you know, I'm not out for the most rare records, or I'm not a collector who buys a bunch of stuff and then doesn't listen to it. It's all killer, no filler, as so to speak, you know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I collect.
I have vinyl, you know, and I have a turntable and everything at home. I play it every once in a while. I'm not as big a collector as you, but I do. One of the times that you were on the show, you were kind enough to bring me the latest vinyl version of the first album I ever bought in my life.
Mm-hmm.
On purple vinyl.
Oh yeah,
and it was Paranoid, Black Sabbath Paranoid.
Yep.
And I thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, I've got another gift for you.
Oh, okay,
too, so.
All right, very cool.
But yeah, Vinyl Me Please put out that pressing of the Black Sabbath record, and they're doing a really cool thing this month. They're reissuing Beck's Odelay.
Ooh.
20th anniversary version of that.
20 years?
Yeah, 20 years since Odelay,
oh,
man.
Oh, man.
It's, you know, are we going to start hearing, you know, where it's at on classic rock radio now?
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So what's the state of vinyl right now? I mean, it's more popular than ever, correct?
Yeah, correct. So basically, for numbers, you know, vinyl and the streaming services are the only two things in music media that are going up. People aren't even buying downloads really anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to cross about 9 million units sold for vinyl next week. So you can bet that by the end of the year, it'll be over 12 million.
Wow.
And that's obviously new records. That's not counting, you know, used record shops, that sort of thing. Last year, vinyl sales were 11.92 million, so we're going to crush that. Now, the numbers are up 13% from this point last year. However, that is a little bit below where we were last year, comparing it to 2014. About this time last year, we were 30% up from the previous year. Now, so there are a lot of articles coming out there saying, oh, have we reached peak vinyl? Is this now on the downswing? But a lot of things should be taken in consideration, you know, when talking about that. One, you know, the marketplace, a lot of these major labels, unfortunately, are overpricing new vinyl reissues and new releases.
Mm.
You can go to a record store. Some of these new pressings are $35, $40, when a couple years ago, they were even just $20 or $15. You know, last year also had two big releases, Taylor Swift's album and Adele's album, and those were number one and number two as far as vinyl sales.
Do artists like that sell on vinyl?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah, even, you know, when your kids don't even have, you know, record players, they're just buying that big, you know, version of Adele's record or 1989 from Taylor Swift because it looks cool, because they can frame it, because it's, you know, something they can look at in their house.
Yeah.
Even if they're not playing the record, they're buying it.
Yeah.
Because it's memorabilia. You know, it's going back to that tactile experience of holding something.
Yeah. Which is what we've talked about so many times. Mm-hmm. The difference between... You know, and again, I'm going to sound like I'm 95 years old, but there's a huge difference between the way we consume and listen to music now than like back, let's say, in the 70s.
Agreed.
Because I remember getting the album and bringing it home and being very excited about it, mm-hmm. and, you know, looking at the artwork and reading the liner notes and looking at the cover and, you know, getting up to turn the record over, yep. and all that stuff. That was all part of the experience.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, the records now, I mean, you can't, you know, pull up Spotify. You can't tell me who played guitar on this record.
Yeah.
You can't tell me who recorded it and also where it was recorded. That's all stuff that, you know, came with the record. You know, you learned about Fame Studios in Alabama and all these different places that are essential to American music.
Yeah.
And you don't really have that in a digital context.
Well, what are some of the latest releases that you're very excited about? Some of the recent ones?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Third Man Records, we can talk about Jack White. We talk about Jack White every time we're
here. He's an innovator in the world of vinyl, and he's a big supporter of it.
Correct. He's like the Willy Wonka. If you want to, you know, get down to it, he's like the Willy Wonka of vinyl these days. So, Third Man Records, they obviously put out his stuff, White Stripe stuff, anything related to Jack White, but they also have a subscription service where every 3 months they put a package together for them, exclusively for their members, and these are about $60. So for $60 every 3 months, you get a rare piece of vinyl, and they do some really great stuff with it. I brought with me today the most recent one, Pearl Jam. Big fan, I know you are of them.
Saw them a few weeks ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they recorded, this is how quickly Jack White can get it done. We talked about delays in vinyl plants. This was just recorded at Third Man Records in Nashville on June 9th of this year. They've already had this out.
Wow.
So it's a Pearl Jam live set. I believe it's the night before they played Bonnaroo.
Okay.
And I just want to hand you the cover. Feel that.
Feel
how cool that is. And I know it's radio. You can't really.
This is awesome.
But so it's this was recorded, Nick, live to acetate at Third Man Records. So there's no editing, no overdubbing, no anything. Literally, the band is playing, and the needle is carving the groove of what's going to be in that record.
And that's unbelievable.
And I don't know, maybe Dan can get this on the Facebook page or whatever, but here's the record itself. It's half black, half transparent gold.
That is so cool.
And it's like an 8-song Pearl Jam set. They do one song with Jack White. And it's really cool. Plus, I mean, this is all the other stuff you get. There's that. If you look inside what you're holding there, there's actually a 6-inch record in there from Eddie Vedder that was recorded on the. I don't know if you remember, a couple years ago, Neil Young recorded an entire album in a phonograph booth with Jack White.
Yeah.
So that's what that is. So Eddie Vedder went in that phonograph booth and recorded a song on his own. So that's in there.
That is so cool.
There's this black and white photo book of the band playing the gig. You know, you get all this. There's a patch. There's a pin. So you really feel you're part of a really cool, exclusive club with this Third Man stuff.
God, that's amazing.
And it's $60. You know, this is just, you
that's,
know.
That's a bargain.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a bargain.
So
here's what we'll do. We'll before you get out of here, I'll take a picture of all of this. We'll just lay it all out.
Oh,
and I can
sure.
take a picture of it, and we can make sure everybody sees it.
You got it.
That's
got
amazing.
It. Yeah.
That's so cool. All right, listen, we got to take a break here because we got the news. Jim, we'll talk about more of the new releases, and we'll talk about how people can help out because it's always a free podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a contest. And people,
yes.
If you donate, you have a chance of winning some
of
really
course,
cool stuff.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll talk about that as well. Jim Hanke is here. We're talking about music. We're talking about vinyl here on 720 WGN. The news is next. When the sun dawns, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's a jam.
Oh, yeah. This whole album's a jam.
Yes, it is. Jim Hanke is with us. He is the host of the Vinyl Emergency Podcast that you can hear on Now Playing Network. By the way, if you want to see that package, again, explain to everybody what we were just talking about.
So what we were looking at was Jack White from the White Stripes. He has a label called Third Man Records. They have a subscription service every 3 months where they put together an exclusive vinyl package for their members that you cannot buy in stores or anywhere else online. And this most recent one was Pearl Jam live at Third Man Records in Nashville, Jack's storefront. So it was recorded in June, pressed to vinyl right away, recorded direct to acetate, so there's no editing. Exactly what you hear is exactly what happened at the show. And it's a really really great package that includes a book, a 6-inch record of Eddie Vedder's, and the album itself is split colored black and gold. It's a really cool package.
And we put a picture of the entire package up on our Facebook page, and yeah. It's really amazing.
Yeah, people are already selling it for twice what it's worth. Yeah. I mean, it's
so crazy. $60 a month, and you get this exclusive stuff that nobody else gets.
Correct.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And so if you want to check it out, it's really beautiful. It's really beautiful. There's a picture on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NickDShow. Facebook.com/NickDShow, and you can see that incredible Pearl Jam package.
Mm-hmm.
So what other releases are exciting for you that are coming up or just came out?
Sure. So, I mean, the Beck thing is they're finally going to reissue Sea Change, which a lot of people are a big fan of that record. That's his sad record.
That's the one Beck record I like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm not a big Beck guy.
Sure, sure.
But that record I like because it's depressing.
Absolutely. So that's a big thing for collectors. Mm-hmm. That is a big record. I was just in Milwaukee with some friends digging over the weekend, found an original copy of that record, $225.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
It is it was basically pressed a couple times when it first came out. Obviously, the vinyl resurgence wasn't what it was then.
Yeah.
So it's a very rare record. So now they're going back and finally, you know, his label Capitol is going back and reissuing some of this stuff because they know they can make money on it. They know they can sell it for $25 and people will buy it up.
Yeah.
But we were talking about Jack White before, about, you know, the Pearl Jam thing. But, you know, we've talked about he's done the world's fastest record, meaning that he recorded a 7-inch. And from the time he recorded it to the time it was pressed, it was only like under 5 hours.
That's crazy.
He's done triple-decker records where you have to break open one album to get to another, liquid-filled stuff. He's done a 3 RPM record, not 33, but 3. So he packs like 70 songs on one thing. But on July 2nd, he might have done his craziest thing ever. Jack White played the first record in space. Basically, he worked with engineers at NASA to send a space-proof turntable attached to a high-altitude balloon into space. The record that was there was a gold-plated 12-inch master of A Glorious Dawn from Carl Sagan. This was taken from the original 1980 Cosmo series.
Wow.
And it played in space. It was 94,000 feet above the Earth, went up there in about 90 minutes. He had actually released part of this album as back in 2009 on Third Man Records to celebrate Carl Sagan's 75th birthday. So it's really cool. People can go to YouTube, just, you know, look for, you know, Jack White record launch, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Carl Sagan, Third Man Records, you'll find it. They had these, you know, the tiny cameras, the GoPros or whatever you call them, on this thing, so you can see it actually launch and float above the Earth and stuff like that and be playing. And it's so it's space proof, meaning that, like, gravity, I guess, had no, you know, the anti-gravity up there had no effect on, you know, the actual playing of the record.
So. Where does he come up with these ideas?
Who knows, man? I mean, you know, for a guy who's pretty clean, I mean, I've never read anything much about him being into drugs or anything. But,
yeah.
I mean, like, he just, you know, I think he's
that's really
he's on that HR Puffin stuff, kind of like, oh, what can we do with vinyl kind of thing. So it's just really encouraging. Some people, you know, are like, oh, it's all gimmicks. You know, for me, it's like, hey, if somebody's got a passion that runs that deep, one, I'm going to love everything you do. And then two, it's just really encouraging for the medium itself.
It gets
kids and people who gave up vinyl long ago back into it. So.
And now, do you know people who have gotten back into vinyl? Have you?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Plenty of people. There are, you know, like bands that I've, you know, brought to the studio here to play for you guys.
Yeah.
Steve Strauss from a band called Smidgen. I remember he texted me a picture of him standing by a turntable like, hey, man, I picked up a turntable. I dusted off my old one because I'm encouraged by you. And stuff like that. It's really humbling. It's really cool.
It's funny. And by the way, for those of you, a little backstory here. Jim is a guy who promotes a lot of the bands that we have here. In studio, Jim hooks us up with the bands that come in and play, and we talk, and it's always a lot of fun. I love having musicians in here and bands.
Oh yeah,
in here, man.
It's really great.
Yeah, and the bands really seem to have a good time.
Oh,
you know,
definitely.
When they come down,
absolutely.
So it's nice, and it's late at night. You just jam a little bit and talk.
Exactly.
It's great. Yeah. So let's talk about Vinyl Emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about some of the more recent editions and episodes. And what we got coming up, and then we want to talk a little bit about how people can help out.
Absolutely. Well, I want to remind people that Nick was gracious enough to be on the show several months ago.
Yes, I had a great time.
We talked about your records, you know, record stores you remember and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And again, you know, no FCC rules, so if you want to hear Nick
speaking
from the hip, you are welcome to
if you
want to
hear how I really talk in real life without the FCC.
And the hip is not the Harlem and Irving Plaza.
No, it's not.
I just want to let you know.
Where's that located? again, Dan?
Dan?
Yeah, where's that? Do you know where that is?
Harlem Irving?
I think.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
All right, you're close.
I'll trust you.
There's a record store over there.
Yeah, exactly. So Nick's been on the show. Matthew Sweet, people might know from his big album Girlfriend back in the 90s. I've had Brian Stack on. Brian is currently a writer and performer on The Colbert Show, on Late Show with Stephen Colbert, but formerly of Conan for about 20 years. And then the show that you can find most recently, that is just up now today, is a great chat with Levi Seitz. He's with Black Belt Mastering in Seattle. He's a guy who records direct to acetate. So again, these, you know, masters basically go right to the plant, and there's no editing on this stuff. It curves and it cuts the record, you know, right there in front of you as you're playing. And he's worked with people like Chris Walla from Death Cab for Cutie, this rapper Wands, who people might not know his name, but he's the guy who sang the hook on Thrift Shop from Macklemore a while back. And that's a really great interview. If you want to get into the minutia of how records are cut and how you master directly for vinyl, it's a really great chat, so people can go hear that today.
And how many episodes are up now? You're 34.
34, yeah, since January. So I've tried at best to do it every week. Some stuff has obviously come up, and I've delayed it, you know, once or twice. But 34 episodes, so yeah, it's going strong and really loving it.
Yeah, obviously people can subscribe.
Yes,
but it's all, you always wanted to keep it free,
right?
Right, but right. You do, you know, in order to keep it free, you gotta get some money somewhere to keep it going.
Exactly.
And so you're asking for people to donate.
Yeah, exactly. So it's one of two things. You know, we have I've set up what you would call a mint condition coalition, kind of like the Vinyl Emergency Fan Club, basically.
Okay.
What you can do to join that is one of two things. One, leave a positive iTunes review for us. You know, it helps people find, if they're looking for vinyl podcasts, it helps for us to be at the top of that search, you know, get the most likes, get the most, you know, best ratings.
Sure,
or whatever.
Of course.
So that's really great. So people can send a screenshot of that to vinylemergency@gmail.com after they leave it, or they can donate physical, you know, money to the show, a very, you know, small donation, $5, what have you. Either way that you do that, via iTunes or the donation, you're entered in for a big drawing at the end of the year. Guests, record labels, record stores that I work with have been generous enough to donate lots and lots of cool records and swag for the contest. So basically, I'll pick 10 winners at the end of the year. They'll each get a random box of new vinyl. This is not dollar bin Dan Fogelberg records or anything like that. This is brand new. We're talking box sets from the Flaming Lips and the Cars, exclusive stuff from Vinyl Me Please, who did the Black Sabbath record. Lots of really cool stuff. So people can, again, if you do a small donation or the iTunes review, you could, all this is at vinylemergency.com, and you can just go ahead and click donate. All the information's there. But I want to make sure we give back to the people who are supporting the show.
Yeah. And, you know, and again, you can go to vinylemergency.com, and you have a details of what the prize is, what are the prizes are.
It all breaks down there.
Yeah. And it's pretty amazing. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And it's worth it. I mean, you just could just donate some money, and that way you're helping out the podcast,
exactly,
which is always going to be free.
Right.
And you got a chance of winning this incredible prize package.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some of this stuff, I can, you know, ballpark it. Each box is probably going to be worth about $150. So if you throw $5 in, or you, you know, give 2 minutes of your time and give an iTunes review, it's definitely going to be worth it.
Okay. And how long will this be going on? When's the last time?
Sure. The cutoff is going to be December 10th.
Yeah, okay.
And then anybody donating or reviewing after that time will just be thrown into next year's pot.
Okay.
But I want to make sure people get this stuff probably before Christmas.
Christmas. That's cool. All right, so go to vinylemergency.com for all that information and more. Now, the guests that you have on Vinyl Emergency, you try to vary it, right? You go from musicians and you try to cover every angle of the experience of records and vinyl.
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's obviously Matthew Sweet. We talked about you know, records that he grew up with, you know, big star. You know, there's a really great story about him first meeting Alex Chilton for the first time.
That's, oh,
really
boy.
Cool. So it's musicians who...
That's shocking that he was in the big star.
Yeah, can you imagine? That's really shocking. So there's talk about how records are pressed. I spoke with Heather Gamoose and Sarah Barker of Gotta Groove Records. They are two ladies who set up their own pressing plant called Wax Mage through Gotta Groove in Cleveland, and they do these really spectacular splatter and color pieces of vinyl, which are really great. Again, Levi, who I mentioned before about mastering, it's really all sorts of stuff, as well as just chats with friends of mine who are collectors. What got them collecting?
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is like, it's not just vinyl, it's life stuff too. I sat down with a record collector friend of mine who, he brought me honey when we did the interview. He brought me a jar of honey, and I was like, well, what is this? And he said, well, I used to be a beekeeper, and this is kind of from my stock. I'm like, whoa, hold on. I never knew you were a beekeeper. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, so these conversations then, you know, spawn into life stuff and,
that's what happened when you and I sat down to talk.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I mean, we talked about vinyl, we talked about music, but we talked about other stuff
too. Exactly.
The show and, you know, and all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely. I learned a lot about you during that chat.
That's terrifying. vinylemergency.com for more information. And well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Jim, I want to talk about some of the ones that are worth the most.
Oh, sure.
And how much, what the value is to some of them. And if there is a holy grail of vinyl out there or
absolutely.
A few of them. I want to talk about that
as
well.
Yeah, you got it.
Vinyl Emergency is the name of the podcast. It's a great one. Jim Hanke is here. And we're going to talk more about music, about vinyl, and more right here on 720 WGN. Look, we pulled out the old Victrola.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Coming up after 3 o'clock, we're going to talk about very weird laws that are actually on the books state by state. We've got Straight Outta Context, Nick D's show, Spies, and You Big Dummy all coming up. And then it's Fly Jams Friday. Jim Hanke is with me right now. He's the host of the Vinyl Emergency podcast on Now Playing Network. And before you get out of here, make sure you give Dan a Fly Jam request.
Ooh,
So we can play a fly jam for you.
Yeah, no problem.
During the fly jam segment.
All right.
All right. So we're back. We're talking about records and vinyl and all that cool stuff. Which ones are what vinyl out there is sort of like the most expensive that's worth the most?
Oh man. Well, people are probably familiar. I think the one that people might be familiar with the most would be Yesterday and Today from the Beatles. There is the iconic Butcher Baby cover of that album where they're all wearing, you know, butcher's coats and they've got baby parts all over them. And honestly, it looks like a Nirvana record. Like, if you know, think about it, it just looks very weird.
I used to have a T-shirt of that.
Really?
Album cover.
Oh, yeah. So
bought it at Beatlefest like 20,
oh, of course.
25 years ago.
Of course.
Yeah.
So a sealed mint version of that in stereo was sold in February of this year for $125,000.
Whoa!
Now, that's a sealed copy. So unsealed mint copies have been sold for about $15,000.
That's crazy.
Yeah, again,
all right, what is the
record.
What is the reason for that?
Well, that was a pulled cover.
Right.
You know, I mean, the Yesterday and Today, the other one that came out, I believe it's the one of them kind of like they're almost by a trunk or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like an open trunk.
Yeah,
and they're
exactly.
Like, yeah,
they're in it or whatever.
Yep.
So yeah, same deal. It's like and it's like baseball cards. You know, you talk about that Bill Ripken card. I know a couple weeks ago, which we don't have to mention.
No, it's a great card though.
Great
it's
card.
Hilarious.
But it's that kind of stuff. It's the rarity. You know, when something is out there and then pulled.
Yeah.
That original copy is going to be worth much.
Let me ask you this: do you know if Street Survivors by Skynyrd is that?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'd have to look up.
You
stuff
look
on
that one up
yeah,
because
I'm
people
familiar.
Might not be remember this. Mm-hmm. When Street Survivor came out by Lynyrd Skynyrd, the cover was the band with like they appeared to be on fire.
Right,
there were flames behind them, and then of course the plane crash happened.
Yeah.
They pulled that and changed the cover, so that might you have to look into
the
that.
First
one.
Pressings that might be pretty high,
yeah.
and in the same boat, like you know, the Freewheelin' Bob Dylan. There's a U.S. album in stereo from 1963, U.S. pressing of that, but four tracks were deleted from subsequent releases, so that original is $35,000, you know, and it's just because it's missing, you know, it's like it has four additional songs, you know, and they were removed, you know, from later pressing.
Can you imagine if somebody had that in their record collection, it's all scratched? They
didn't,
you know, back in those days, like, whatever, just put
right.
it, you know, they cut their seeds out of their pot with,
totally.
With the album cover and all that.
And that's what I want to let people know is, you know, if you're sitting on vinyl and you're not going to listen to it, you know, it's better to put it in somebody's hands who is and who's going to enjoy it so you can take it to a local record store. But please know, you know, if you've got Beatles records, A, they might not be original pressings.
Right.
You know, the Beatles were the most popular band in the world, and therefore they made as many copies as you can possibly imagine of that record.
Yeah.
It's not just because it's old does not mean it's rare.
Right.
It's kind of the selling point I want to tell
right.
people. So.
So is the Holy Grail, is that would that be Yesterday
pretty,
and Today?
It's pretty up there. I mean, like there's, you know, I'm sure there's other there's acetates, there's test pressings of stuff that, you know, aren't you know, given out to the public. But that's a big one. I mean, that's one everybody's really wanting for sure.
Okay. Well, what about you personally? What do you have in your collection that is kind of like your Holy Grail?
You know, there's not a whole lot that's like mega valuable, I don't think. I mean, it's just personal stuff that's really important.
What are some of your favorites?
Okay, so let's see. I'd say there's a Wilco box set that came out not too long ago. I forget the name of it, but it's about four LPs there, and it's like a career-spanning Wilco box.
By the way,
set.
Jeff that's Tweedy really was on At Midnight last week.
Oh, man, I have to watch that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, he was hilarious, too.
Oh,
he was hilarious.
Great. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So there's that one. I'll tell you one that is, you know, on the verge of coming out. My Holy Grail has been Wildflowers from Tom Petty. I love that record. I do not own it.
Great record.
It is a $400 or $500 record because it is not, it was, you know, not, again, not pressed. It was, you know, 94.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to press a whole lot of vinyl there. There has always been talk, you know, the last couple of years of them reissuing that along with Echo, She's the One soundtrack, you know, that like mid, you know, like mid-90s Tom Petty period.
Yeah.
Where he was pretty much untouchable. I mean, he's untouchable now, but that period is really big to me. So when that comes out, like that's something I'm really, really, I can't wait for. I'll be first in line for that.
And how often do new releases come out? Do they do it like the Tuesdays?
It actually switched to Friday.
Oh, okay.
A little bit. It was either earlier this year or later last year. Now the new releases all come on Friday. There are Vinyl Tuesdays, which record stores are trying to do, where maybe the vinyl copy of, let's say, the new Wilco or the new Bon Iver that is coming out today, that stuff might be available like 3 days before, you know, digital or, you know, CD or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But primarily Fridays are the main music release day now.
And again, the question that I always have for you, for people who are listening, who want to maybe try to get into vinyl.
Sure.
What's the easiest, what's, give them like a 101 on how to start and getting a turntable and maintaining that and all that stuff for people who are like, you know what, I want to bust out my old records and I want to start buying vinyl.
Of course. So your old turntable is going to be really hard to kind of buff up to today's standards. If you've got old needles, if it's not really, you know, playing records up to speed anymore, it might be best to just get a new turntable. But these are affordable options. There are ones that like Audio Technica has an LP60 model where it's basically push button. You put a record down, push a button, the needle itself comes up, goes down on your record. It's about, you know, $99 or something like that. Pretty easy. And they do have a model also if you want to digitize your records. If you you know, have vinyl and you want to put it on your phone or what have you, they have another model where you can plug in a USB and be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The turntable I have is from a company called U-Turn out in Boston. That was a Kickstarter program where three engineering students wanted to make a high-quality audiophile-level turntable, you know, but not have it cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
That starts at $179. I mean, there are really great options out there.
Yeah.
Now, you can also, you know, go and buy a $5,000 turntable. But, you know, for people just back to starting out, I would recommend getting a new turntable. There are record stores. There's plenty. Obviously, we just lost the Jazz Mart.
Yeah,
Mart
the Jazz Mart right around the corner.
But Reckless is still going strong. Scott Schaff, friend of the show at Pinwheel Records, he's going strong in Pilsen. There's a lot of places. If you have questions, give them a call. But as far as getting a turntable, and you know, I would start there. But you can always, you know, play your old records. There are ways to clean them. There's a spin clean thing where basically you put a record in, you can, you know, get all the dust off it.
Mm-hmm.
There's record brushes you can get to kind of clean up your records. You know, it's easy to start getting back into
That's
it.
Great. That's yeah. great. Yeah. All right, now you said you brought me something.
I did.
I didn't ask for you to bring anything.
No, I know it. I know
it. I appreciate
that. I've actually held on to this for quite a while. And it's not a super rare record, but I wanted to give it to you just for personal meaning. So, Jason, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Jason Isbell at all.
No.
Okay, so he was a member of a band called the Drive-By Truckers.
Okay, I know the band, yeah.
So people who don't know the Drive-By Truckers, they are, you know, one of the most debaucherous bands there is these days.
Right.
Whiskey slinging, you know, everything. Now, Jason Isbell was kicked out of the Drive-By Truckers for being too debaucherous, you know? So that's,
oh, my God.
So, I mean, that's kind of what is happening. You know,
that's when Adler got kicked out of Guns N' Roses.
That's exactly it. That's exactly the same story. So that's where he was coming from. So I wanted to bring you this record. This is his album from 2013 called Southeastern.
Okay.
This is Jason's first record sober.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to bring you this record because, A, it's one of my favorite records in the last 15 to 20 years. He is my favorite lyricist by far these days. And this is a record that, to me, means that you don't need any of that stuff to do your best work.
Oh.
And because of, you know, celebrating, you know, over a year of sobriety, I wanted to give this record to you.
Oh, that's nice.
I hope you enjoy it. Hope you listen to it. Again, it's one of my wife and I's favorite albums, and I think it's necessary for you to have it.
That's really nice, man.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I appreciate that. That's really kind. I appreciate that. That's awesome. Thank you, man.
Yeah, you bet.
Very cool. That's great. Here, let me
take a look at that.
Southeastern is the name of it, and that's very, very
yeah,
cool.
it's right. There's a song on there about him playing Europe with Justin Townes Earl.
No kidding,
yeah,
really?
There's a song on there about, you know, of them playing together and being on tour together and stuff. So if you like Steve Earle, if you like, you know, John Prine, this is up your alley.
That's great.
So.
Well, no, I like, clearly I like both those guys.
Yeah.
That's very nice of you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
All right. I should have you on more often so I can get free stuff.
Exactly. That's why I'm here. I'll be the Willy Wonka of the show, just bringing you records.
Just bring me records all the time. That's fantastic. Again, vinylemergency.com for more information. And you got some upcoming guests that you want to talk about?
I'm trying to. There's one that I'm trying to get that you know, I really really hope happens. I'll just say it. I've been and I've been talking with his representative, Ben Montench from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Oh man,
he posts records on Instagram quite a bit. I reached out to his people. We're just trying to set up a date. It reminds me right now as I'm talking about it, I need to follow up on it. That would be a really, really great guest. You know, I mean, that organ on Refugee, I mean, that's him. I mean, it's just, you know, he's an iconic member of,
that's great.
Of you know, what I love about
that would
music.
Be so cool if you got him.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy about it.
Best of luck with that.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, we got a few texts here to close out.
Oh, sure.
773 area code says, "My happiness, That's When Your Heartache Begins by Elvis Presley was bought for $300,000 by Jack White."
Yes, it was. We actually talked about that at like one of the record store days. He put that out as a replica 10-inch record. Yeah, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he did buy that, and it was a mysterious buyer at first, and then it came out.
It came out that it was
Jack
him.
White. Yep.
Did people know? I mean, if it was like unknown buyer, would people? It's got to be Jack White.
I think for any record these days, you can just assume it's Jack White.
Exactly. Yeah. 847 area code says, "I have a promo copy of Big Star Radio City from Ardent on white vinyl unused."
Ooh, that's nice.
Oh.
You know, and I want to make, you know, as far as like giving a quote on that, a website that I use quite a bit is Discogs.com. Discogs.com. That's a great way. Every record basically ever made is up there, and it gives you, you know, what people are buying and selling it for. So it's not necessarily the worth of the record, but it's like eBay for records specifically. So if you want to look up that, you might have to look at the runout mix. That there's a matrix that's in the runout, like right before the label, that'll kind of tell you what pressing it is.
Mm-hmm.
Look that up there, and that might tell you how much it's worth. But that's a fantastic find. Very cool.
Very cool. All right, and then we'll close out with this. Uh-huh. Kathy texted, "Jim H. is great. He's so interesting and great to be interviewed."
Oh,
they like
awesome.
You.
Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
That's great.
Jim, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for the record, man.
Yeah, you're
welcome. Really appreciate it. And as always, fascinating, really interesting stuff. We'll get you in here before, you know, earlier than we have.
Yeah,
in the
you bet. Absolutely.
Get you back.
Sure.
VinylEmergency.com is a website, and subscribe to the podcast. Thanks, Jim.
Oh, thank you.
All right, we got a break for the news right after this.